Blog Talk Radio. strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of the choir, that he may be able to stand in the fire. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
By Yahweh Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast, Yahweh Radio, Voice of the True Israelites, is now on the air. I'll be your host, by name, your Seer Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Seed Royal, the Noble of Yahdah, YHDH, clean house, fix the blame, solve the problem. Tape number 14. We're going to go find our elder and bring him in. He'll tell y'all about the broadcast on the international side, over 900,000 strong and counting. So we're going to bring our elder in. He'll tell y'all about the broadcast. And we live all over the known world. So we're going to bring our elder in and tell you about the broadcast, tape 14. Then the elder and myself will spread some books out and see which way it goes. And never know, he might stimulate a great lesson when he deliver what Yahweh put on him to say. We'll see in a minute. So when you meet our elder, the Bible voice, you say, Elder, Mr. Tim Israel, Yahweh be there, see you right.
Well, bless you, see you as well, see you well. Oh, yeah, Yahweh.
Hello, Yahweh, Elder. Well, one thing I do know, Elder, what I can tell you, Foxtail hair been lit, curtain hair went up. It's over 900,000 strong and counting on the international side. So, well, you got to tell the national audience before we spread the books out and take care of Take 14, to take your time and do all that Yahweh put on you to do that. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull a verse out behind that one. That same thing the seer told David, that whatever on your mind, lay it out there. Matter of fact, that's a nice, I'm going to come back with that after you complete what you're saying to this national audience. You're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of over 900,000 members. And you know, that's a good thing, because it makes me think with the deception and everything that's going on right now, how many is listening to the word the correct way and receiving it the way they should. You know, because there's not too much room for error, especially when you're trying to learn the word of Yahweh. Now, if you read the book of 2nd Esther, chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 8, what does that say? 7 says, the entrance therefore is narrow and set in a dangerous place to fall, like if there was fire on the right hand and on the rough, deep water. 8. And only one path between them both, even between the fire and the water, so small, they could only but one man go there at once. That rate to righteousness, that is correct. One man or one woman can only go there at one time. You're saved one at a time, not all at once. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching. A lot of want to go on through those people that using their method of righteous learning and Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's Ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And as you noticed, first and foremost, about Yahweh's Word, learning how to connect the Bible books, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. All this is done because you have not. And this is the information that you came to seek and have to look no further. You've now found that in the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah, They're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, Sabbath class we do have, and the top part of Sabbath is Friday. At class times, it starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class that starts at 12 p.m., and the online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. You also have a website address. To use this on any search line, then at tribeyada.com. And after clicking it, look for tribeyada.com-Israelites. This way, you will find the big lion. And under that lion, you'll find some choices. One which would be in tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow those instructions. Now, on any other device, however, you may see menu. But after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering, come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves the cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures and the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and mentioned once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, alive. Also, from building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This feature is available during our broadcast time. To get there, in the three words once again, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, this time, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. And click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first, which is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other number is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 of my accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. But also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. As a continuing reminder, I have to tell you, you'll only hear a discouraging doubt. Also, by calling the same number, you can order what our numbers know for all programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel from DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. I remember one person giving me their name and the wrong address 4 different times. So you can imagine the chaos that caused. They did not receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or after. As you might imagine, the seer is pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos that most of us have seen during our program. And now, even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if that question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you will only hear discouraging doctrine. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of our program, you can catch the entire recorded show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time is repeated after 10:30. To do that, just enter 3 words. Again, Yahuwah Radio Live. And when you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. Choose the program that you are late logging into, or any previous day that you would like to listen. You'll find that during our normal Blog Talk broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Pal Talk. Pal Talk can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, or computer. Just make sure you download the Pal Talk app. We'll be listed under ethnic group African American. Look for Voices of the Trizlites, Tribe of Valdez. You'll find our room will hold 50 or more listening participants, where Yahuwah's Word will be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer the on-the-table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be the Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, along with Seer Israel writing as Shaka. During this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And our broad talk ends before teaching time. We will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But as a continuing reminder, when we are given the scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly, remembering that we have over 900,000 listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion, as we are given a reminder of that fact in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Because when we do this, as I've said many times before, we do keep the scriptures in mind. That's a fact. But when you find those trying to win that bump the drums contest, those are the ones that miss all the Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto them. Because we are rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahuwah, as it tells us in St. John, chapter 14, verse 26. So we can start our program, and the listeners can start to get a learning scenario. We'll pass the program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, that was excellent, you part there, Elder. So, do we come to inform the national audience about everything and just like not rewriting anything, but giving you a thorough breakdown of what the Bible is really saying and who is it saying to? And the book Thomas to tell us, once you know who you are, then that property states of mind, you're out of it. That state of mind, then you will know your portion. Once you know who you are, according to the Bible, then that blockage we have in the mind, it'll be lifted up. So, Elder, we just going to see if we just throw a few things on the table and talk about it. And we'll get all the help we can get on this Wednesday night by looking at Luke chapter 12, verse 12 there, Elder. And see, if we take a look at Luke 12, then we're going to bounce around on the statement that you made a little while ago, and I took notes on it. And we'll see if we can get some out of that and see which way that go after we read it. Luke chapter 12, verse 12, Elder.
In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12, it says, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
And at the very same hour, the righteous spirit will have you very confident, because let me explain something. On the way of explaining something, I thought we said we're going to solve the verse that you left, but then that small still goes to gnaw there. Look at Luke 24, 30 down to verse 32. He said, look at that verse there. I thought you had already put in your mind what you was getting ready to do by piggyback off on the elder, but now before you piggyback off on the elder, drop down what I tell you to put down. Let's look at, and this is going to tell us, at least the national audience, over 900,000 strong, exactly what we're working with. And if you get any signs different than this, then we're not fulfilling what the elder getting ready to read. Let's see what the elder getting ready to read in Luke 24:30-32. What does it say, the elder?
In the book of Luke 24:30-32, 30 says, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. 32, and they said to one another, did our hearts burn within us while we talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?"
Yeah. So we come on this broadcast 6 nights a week. And for us to make things happen, we must mind burn. And the way you make your mind burn is by doing, what's the key word in there, Elder, that we can work with for the national order? So how do you make another being, male or female, according to verse 32, how do you make their mind burn? I mean, stimulation to the brain. Here it is right here. And Luke, let's see. So take a look at verse 32, Elder, and pick out one word. And that can tell the story. What did it say to Elder?
Reading that again, 32, it says, "And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with us by the way, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture?"
Okay. So, according to verse 32, Elder, what one word will make your brain stimulate? That's like, you know, if a brain is always lacking, slow to comprehend, what will the number one thing help a brain, in case you know somebody got all old timers or odd timers, whatever word is properly used? According to that verse 32, what one word will stimulate your brain?
The one word would be scriptures.
Excellent. And remember, that answer was for the national audience. The one word that would help you with any problems you have with your brain is by the scripture. So there go your number one way. It's not what Doc Cook put you on. The number one answer, if you got a parent or anyone that kind of got Alzheimer's or whatever, when you start having them putting scriptures together, you go over one with them, then you show them the answer to it, then ask them, do you remember that? So they mind gonna say, no, but they're gonna try to be thinking about what you just got through doing, and guess what you're doing? You stimulating the brain. That is the key to your parents. Once they get older, you have to be able to tell them, Mom, Daddy, Uncle Pete, or Aunt Corrine, listen, to stimulate your brain, you must hear this verse right here. And now I'm going to show you the answer to this verse right here. Now, once you got this answer to it, now, if you remember that, guess what? You stimulate your brain. See that? So there's that there. So that's stimulation of the brain. Now, good, Elder. So now let's go back to what you said earlier in 2 Samuel 7, 1, 2, and 3. Now let's see. Whatever you said, I made a note of it. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 1, 2, and 3. Let's see what that says. So now we know.
Okay.
If you want help, because this ministry will be involved in those that got an ear to hear all over the world. So stimulate an elderly person just by showing them a verse, then showing them the answer to that verse, the precept to that verse, then ask them again, do you remember that? And they'll say, yeah, you read this verse, I wrote it down, and you tied that verse in with that. Yes. And guess what start working on them? Brain. It is right. That's how you stimulate the brain, and then you can eliminate Doc Cook by using Yahweh's way. All right, so what you getting ready to read there? Second Samuel. Now, anytime you want to add anything to whatever I say, Elder, you jump right on in there because that's what we're here for. We're here to help the national audience, not ourselves. So anytime you want to add something to what we're saying, be free to get in there, or we go on to 2 Samuel 7, 1, 2, and 3. Come on.
Reading the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, starting at verses 1 to 3. One says, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Yahweh had given him rest around about from all his enemies, too, that the king said unto Nathan the seer, see how I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of Yahweh dwelleth within curtains. 3. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Yahweh is with thee.
So now the seer told him, he said, yeah, go ahead and do everything in your heart that day, because Yahweh is with you. Yeah? Now, to know that soul, or that part called mother, has came to the stage there, Elder. See, one thing about Mother Eve, Mother Eve is short in stature, but when it comes down to the word of Yahweh, mother knows, alarm goes off, saying, hey, I'm getting in where I fit in at. Because this right here stimulates the brain. And when you stimulate the brain, you'll be in a position to help others. So Mother E. Israel, tribe of Yahdah Jewish. One of the mothers out of Camp 1. Hey, Mother E. Yahweh bid you have seed right.
Yahweh bless you, sir. Israel of seed right. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that Mother E. And we know Mother Z saying, look, it's here. I'm sitting at my desk now. My paper's spread. My book's ready. So whatever role you want me to play, I'm ready there for you. And that's a great thing. See, when you know you got this kind of backup, that's what it's all about. So Mother Z will be giving a commentary a little later after we put them on the table. Never know. Our job is one thing. We come to stimulate the mind of those that got an ear to hear. We're going to help you because remember about Moses. He can't look at your age. As a matter of fact, help me out there, Mother. Hey, Mother E, help the old seer out for a minute. I'm coming back with the minute, yo. But let me show you something. That age is ain't nothing but a number. They'll say that age ain't nothing but a number. But we're going in the Bible and show you that it's true. They'll say something. But we'll go in the Bible and be like the Bereans in 17, chapter 10 and 11. We'll see it and so. Let's run to Deuteronomy's mother. We're going to the 34th chapter. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy 34, verse 7 down to verse 12. That's what we're going to do, mother. Let's take a look at something in Deuteronomy chapter 34,
7
down to verse 12. Let's see what that say there. Come
out, Mother E. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7 to 12. Verse 7 reads, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his nature was today. Verse 8. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plain of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were in it. Verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hand upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Yahweh commanded Moses. Verse 10. And there arose not a seer since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Yahweh knew face to face. Verse 11. And all the signs and the wonders which the Yahweh sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Verse 12. And in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel.
That's excellent, Moses. So you find out that about time people think because they got up into age, that they ain't no count no more. No. Moses didn't start his ministry until he was 80 years old. Moses was 80 years old when he started the ministry at 80. And until he met the people's way down, he could have went further than that, but he got excited that the people's way down to 120. So Yahweh had to kill him at 120. But did you understand what he said about it? His mind was sharp. His physical appearance was getting around was sharp. Everything was sharp. You know why? He kept Yahweh first. And Yahweh stimulated his brain because daily Yahweh had to tell him something about the children of Israel. And he had to go find, who, mother? Hey, mother, who he had to go find when Yahweh told him about something? See, mother, he had to go do something. As soon as Yahweh told him about something, mother, in Exodus chapter 4, and remember, sooner or later, Sister BSJ Israel will make her debut on this national audience. And she said, see, I ain't ready yet. I got to get everything down packed. You know, I got a lot of things that I got to get, make sure it's right so I can get the microphone real good. So Sister BSJ, she's in the wing now. She all is. She listening real carefully. And sooner or later, she's going to get in that microphone and holler in that microphone. So, hey, we'll be waiting on you, you hear? Now, mother, let's find out something about Moses. Now, you said... We just read about Moses. He went to 120 years old, and everything was working on him. His mind was sharp. You know why his mind was sharp? Elder read it early in chapter 24, 30 to 32. The elder, he read it earlier because your mind will be stimulated through scripture. See, when you precept your Bible, you happen those that got, you know, give me that word again. It's our old time of love. What that word is, Elder, help me out. Help those say, what's that word they call it in the English language about when your mind starts slipping you a little bit? They call it what again now, Elder?
Oh,
God. Elder, what word they use? They use the word, Elder. Go ahead, Mother. I heard you mention it, Mother. Say it again, Mother.
Alzheimer's.
Well, okay, that's good enough. But see, what we see now, we know now how to avoid having your mind where they feel that you got that. And they always say, well, you don't got old, and you don't got old, and your mind will count scripture. No, that's not so. Moses was sharp as a as a switchblade razor blade at 120. Why? Because he was stimulated in the word of Yahuwah. So what you tell people that elderly, this is what you do to help your mind remember that you lock the door, that you go to the, that you forget to do this by listening to the six anointed counsel of voices of the true Israelites. They'll show you how you hear a verse, then get the answer with the verse. Always you're not gonna stumble on the answer once you hear it. You must use your brain to go seek it out. Now, once you seek it out, guess what you're doing? You're stimulating your brain. See, that's how you stimulate your brain. So your brain will be real sharp. You can be in a wheelchair. You can be bedridden. But one thing about it, your brain will be stimulated and it will be sharp because you can't accident and precept the Bible. Don't take it. No, you're not going to accident and do none of that. And when you read a verse here, like we just read, you ain't going to stumble upon that verse nowhere. You have to know where to go and put it together. And that's going to take you to work your brain. Right. Enough said on that. Now, Mother, we go on to the fourth chapter, and we're going to find out something about Moses. Moses was around a long time, but let's get the foundation of Moses being around a long time, Mother. We go on to the fourth chapter, and we're going to find out what did Moses do after he received the word of the Almighty. We go on to Exodus chapter 4, Mother, and we're going to pick around about verse number 10, and 10 down to 14. We're going to listen to what Yahuwah said. We're going to Exodus chapter 4, 10 out of verse 14. That's what it says, Mother.
Look at Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to 14. Verse 10 reads, "And Moses said unto the Yahuwah, O my Yahuwah, I am not eloquent, neither hearful, nor since I have spoken unto their servants, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Verse 11. "And the Yahweh said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or deceit, or seeing of the blind? Am not I the Yahweh?" Verse 12. "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." 13. "And he said, O my Yahuwah, since sin, I pray thee by the hand of him whom thou shalt sin." Verse 14. "And the anger of the Yahuwah was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he come forth to meet thee. And when he see thee, he will be glad in his mind."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me verse 15, 16, Mo. We might well tie that in. But you on something, Mo. We might well go ahead. Verse 15 and 16 on what it says.
Verse 15 and verse 16 read. Verse 15. "And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. 16. "And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of Yahweh.
Oh, that's big talk, Moses. That's big talk. So that opened up a door. So now we find out the order of things that Moses tried to get out of his responsibility by being to lead the children of Israel. And he tried to get out of it by saying, well, you know, Yahweh, I don't speak good. I'm slow of speech. Now, what he mean by him being slow of speech, he wasn't able to keep up with the lingo that the children of Israel was talking because he was powerful in speech, but he didn't understand the lingo of the children of Israel because he was raised up an Egyptian. And that's what he's saying. But Yahweh said, look here, you my man, Moses. So I'll tell you what I'll do for you. Ain't your brother Aaron, can he speak well? He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make you, instead of me, Yahweh. And Aaron going to be the mouthpiece to go before the children of Israel. So that makes Aaron to be what? And 7 verse 1, mother. So what was Aaron going to be according to Exodus 7 verse 1? Let's see what Aaron going to be and Moses was going to be according to the children of Israel. 7 verse 1.
Look at Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. Exodus chapter 7 verse 1 reads, and the Yahweh said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a Yahweh to Pharaoh, and Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy leader.
You see that, mother? So when the children of Israel, mother, according to 7:1, what did they see Moses as according to 7 verse 1?
Yahweh.
And what was Aaron seeing? What else?
I was going to jump in there with a statement that you were talking about being slow in speech. Being slow in speech don't mean that you don't are not wise. A lot of people think because you speak slow that you got mental issues or Alzheimer's. But I was going to throw 2 Corinthians in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6 says, but though I may be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. And this is what we're talking about right now, what it feels like. Just wanted to throw that in.
Okay, that's excellent. That was excellent. And not only that, he was slow in speech according to, sometimes you have all the degrees in the world, and you go stand out on 47 in Chisley, 47 in Cottage Grove. And you can hear the children of Israel that's called the Negro speaking. And if you don't know what they lingo of speaking, you hear them speaking, but you understand the words they're saying. And that's what happened even back in the days of Jane Burns, the mayor. She didn't understand what the other aldermen were saying, and she had to get Jim Taylor to be her mayor pro tem just to interpret what they were saying and break it down for her. I bet he was speaking English. So he wasn't tight tongue at all. And why we know that, Elder? Let's read what it says in Acts chapter 7. Let's read chapter. He wasn't tight tongue. He didn't mean slow and speak based on he couldn't speak. It's just we got the precept to 7:22 and find out exactly that, Elder. Let's find out exactly what he meant by this, because Moses was what? According to Acts 7:22 and 23. Elder, Mr. Till?
What chapter in Acts?
Chapter 7, verse 22 and 23.
Acts chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. 22 says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. 23. And when he was 40 years old, it came to his mind to visit his brother, the children of Israel.
You see that, El? So he was mighty indeed. He was mighty, but in the Egyptian tongue. You know, sometimes we be forget about, you know, we be unlearned so much from the high institution that when some slang words are said in English, you don't have a clue what it's saying because remember the children of Israel, the Negro today, butchered up the English language. And we try to figure out what he's saying. Now Moses understood the Egyptian language. He was brought up as an Egyptian or Hamite. He didn't understand the pure Semitic that the Israelites were saying. So that's why he tried to get out of it. He don't understand their dialect of Semitic, because he was speaking Hamitic, which is a different dialect from Semitic. So that's the problem they had. Same thing about Joseph. When he turned 17 years old, he was brought up from 17 to the time his brothers came, and he learned the Egyptian language of Hamitic. So why he say he was slow to speak, he didn't understand how to stick with the children of Israel. And sometimes we can get out of touch with our own loved ones the way we butcher up the English language. And you got some that have got their grammar so tight on English language that they get a headache listening to you talking with broken English. They'll get a headache by you talking. So they don't understand all the matter of fact, let me just forgot time I talk on that. You got a basketball player right now for the Los Angeles Lakers. His father is Negro, African American, children of Israel, his father. But his mother is Japanese. So he was raised up Japanese language and understanding. So he said now by him being on the basketball team of the Los Angeles Lakers, I have to now get a class course in the lingo that they speak. See, so he has to get a crash course and listen to the way they speak to. So that makes him slower speak. Slower speak in what? In English. He didn't know all the handshakes, all the words that they were used. So he all over the place. But now he don't got a, now if you hear him talk now, he don't caught up. That's what Andre Moses said. So now, Mother, let's come back and read something that was said, very important to come back to Elderness again and read what the seer said. Now come back, Mother, and read Exodus 4, verse number 12. So here go the game changer right here, 4 verse 12. What it says in Exodus 4, 12, Mother?
Book of Exodus, chapter 4. Verse 12 reads, now therefore, go, and thou wilt be with thy mouth, and teach thee, teach there what thou shalt say.
You see that? So that's where we come in at. He said, now go, Moses, I will be with you, and I will teach you what to say. And that's what we got to do with the national audience over 900,000 strong. We have to re-teach them something they got to do to really receive what we're bringing, Elder, in 2 Ezra 14:34. It's something they got to do. You they got to do, Elder, in 2 Ezra 14:34. See, everybody got to give a little give and take here. So what do the world got to do? We come on this broadcast and you make the claim every time when you give a commentary or show our point. When you call in the international line, 224-600-5579, have a good spirit. But if you call it to teach, you're gonna run into a diatomb. That would help you. So the reason why he say that, you get ready to read in 2 Ezra 14:34. Hey, Elder, what is it saying in 14:34 that we can read?
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 14, verse number 34 says, therefore, if so be that you will subdue your own understanding and reform your minds, ye shall be kept alive, and after death ye shall obtain mercy.
Okay. And when it come around the children of Israel, Elder, what did God do with children of voices of to his life? When it come around of, according to the 18th chapter 1, 2, and 3, what they got to do? Matter of fact, 1, 2, 3, 4. What do Matthew 18, 1, 2, 3, 4? You see, you got to do all you have all that stuff you have learned in Bible colleges, all the stuff you have graduated with. You got to do all that understanding. You got to put all that down to the side. That's a heavy price to pay. I know you're going to take a lot of money. You're pay a lot of money to be in Christian academy schools and Catholic schools. You're going to pay a lot of money. And that stuff is in you like tar on a roof. I understand that. But the only way you'll learn the truth of this Bible, you got to do that understanding, put it on the shelf, and it'll get ready to read in 18, 1, 2, 3, 4, exactly how you got to operate. What does it say, Elder? Matthew 18, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Book of Matthew is chapter 18, reading verses 1 through 4. Verse 1 says, at the same time came the disciples unto Yahweh the Son, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? 2. Yahweh the Son called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Mother E, Elder, y'all want to comment on that? You see how it works? So now, what have we just deal with right now? Anybody want to comment on that, or want to just move on? Want to comment on that, Elder?
You can comment on it, because you know, like a little child don't have a proud look or either a boasting loud tongue. You know, he wants to learn. So if you can humble yourself, be like a little child, learning, he's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
See that? I see a lot of them already got their mind made up, Elder. And that's why you tell them on the network, I mean, when you call the international line, call if you're ready to hear something, not to tell something. Then we'll get you there. Matter of fact, what will we do, Elder, if you take notes, pay attention? What will we do according to St. John 9:25? Let's see what St. John 9:25 says, that what we'll do. St. John 9:25, Elder, what does it say?
In the book of St. John, chapter 9, reading verse 25, it says, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I can see.
Yeah. So he said,
oh, yeah.
So he said, you know, I don't know about the six and on the count, what's up to his life. But I know one thing, by listening to this broadcast, I was blind, but now I see. See? That's big. So that's a miracle. Because we went all our life thinking one thing, and we find out by this force of the two Israelites, that was totally wrong. And we done paid a lot of money. we was blind, but now we see. Now our mind starting to burn on us now, because now we understand when you got your Bible open, especially in the teaching ministry, your mind's supposed to burn, because he's going to show us how to read a verse and precept a verse. And then for you to precept a verse, that means your mind got to work. And what did I do? That'll help you from seeing Doc Cook. Doc Cook ain't got to give you no pills no more for your brain. We'll find out how to make your brain stimulate already. Look at WCC said, "What? We missed it. Can we read that again?" All right, Loud D says, "We'll read it. How to make your brain stimulate." Let's run back to Luke 24 and look at verse 29-30. Let's show how to make, you don't have to have no psychiatrist or any of them to make your brain stimulate. This is the number one way to help your loved ones that you thinking they don't got the age and their brain now is not functioning as it used to be. Here go Yahweh's answer according to the Bible, what you have to do if you want to help your loved ones. Elder gonna come back and read again. And remember at 9:15, you go back over the part that you missed. So now, but take notes too, because you might be able to help somebody else. You might be among an elderly person, and they don't remember as they once remember. And you'll be able to help them, show them how to build up their mind by what the elder getting ready to read. And Luke 24:31-32. Come on, Elder.
Okay. I'm changing my notes because I had wrote down something else. Luke 24, verse number 31 and 32. 31 says, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." 32. "And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?"
So, what stimulates your brain?
Learning the scriptures, as it says, and the Bible precepts.
You say that. So that's what you tell those that's elderly, that you think maybe mom got a little slow and getting around, or Uncle Buck ain't getting around in the night like you want. You tell them, if you want to stimulate your brain, remember Moses was 120 years old. His brain stayed stimulated. And the reason why his brain was stimulated, Mother E. Let's go to 2 Samuel 14:1, Mother. Let's find out why Moses and the righteous act was rehearsed. He was told to the seer why Moses was so sharp. That's how his brain was stimulated. And he was 120 years old, and his brain was sharp. Like that. Sharp as a tack. And it was told to pass it on in the 14th chapter, Mother. 2 Samuel 14:1. Let's read down to get our point, Mother. 14:1. What did it say?
2 Samuel 14. Verse 1 reads, "And it comes to pass upon the third day, I sit under an oak, and behold, there came a voice out of a bush over against me, and said, Ezra, Ezra." Verse 2, "And I said, Here am I, Yahweh, and I stood upon my feet." Verse 3, "Then said he unto me in the bush, I did manifest, reveal myself unto Moses and talk with him when my people served in Egypt. Verse 4. And I sent him and led my people out of Egypt and brought him up to the mountain, mouth of Sphinx. And I sent him and led my people out of Egypt and brought him up to the mouth of Sinai, where I led him by me a long season. Verse 5. And told him many wondrous things and showed him the secret of the times and the end and commanded him, saying, These words shall thus declare, and these shall thus hide. Verse 7.
Uh-huh. And then, that's good. Right there, mother. Right there. So look where you'll find out. That's good, mother. So now we find out that the reason why Moses' mind was so sharp, because the Almighty showed him the presence and well was passed with him and showed him the future. So that's the reason why Moses' mind was not as big, because Yahweh always stimulated his mind on what to tell the children of Israel, and that passed on to Ezra, saying, you know why Moses' mind was so sharp? Because Yahweh stimulated his brain by keeping him understanding every move the children of Israel going to make, even past the time that we are on right now. So his brain stayed working because his brain was always seeing things from pages of the book. And that'll keep your brain going. So that'll stimulate your brain by listening to this broadcast, precepting your Bible, seeing all the lies that have been told. And then you start putting things together, and then you will say the same thing that Ella read in St. John 9:25. I was blind, but now I see. Now I see that I've been paying money, my grandmama's been paying money on purgatory. Now I find out that that ain't nothing but bewitching my loved one. That don't bewitch me, because I had myself sitting over at the confession booth and found out that was nothing but a bewitching from Satan to death. See that? See, we're going to find out. See what your brain on did now? Now you able to help your loved one. Now where you was blind, but now you see. Once you shut it down, according to David, Elder, 146 verse 4, once your loved one of anybody you know get a last breath, now you know how to go to 146 verse 4, the Elder getting ready to read. But you're getting ready to read, Elder, Psalm 146 verse 4. Now you just go to 146 verse 4 and look at the body and look at the one standing before you. Then you might tell somebody that's with you, put your hand back in your pocket. Don't get that man on that. Don't get that man on your hard money. They said, why not, child? Because the Elder getting ready to read 146 verse 4 of Psalm. What is it that? What is it? You know?
Book of Psalms, chapter 146, verse number 4 says, his breath goeth forth, and he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish.
You see that? So, want to take a shot at that, Elder? For the national audience?
Well, when the breaths go out and you're dead, and you return to the earth, you don't have no thoughts of the living. Very same, you know, day, you don't have any thoughts of the living once you're gone.
Okay? Now look at that. Now, how many people is now talking to the pastors right now about how much they want to spend on the next summer? And the pastor's going to tell you all type of things, but now you see now that's bewitching your loved one and going and asking a man to forgive your sin, you find out that that's a whole, again, that's bewitching the people. So you see now, you go places right now, and you got people that can make up, I want to get that name. I want to get that woman. They can make up your portion, hey, to do. You mix this with this and put that with that, and you can get that. You can get who you want. See? That's bewitching. But now you're able to see through it. You know, properly, but the only way you're going to really see through it is some things you got to give up. Hey, Elder, in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1-2, 6 down to verse 9. Let me take care of some on the way and take care of some. Hey, Mother E, help me, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But some of they gotta do something totally. They gotta do something different. They ought to get ready to read in Romans chapter 8, verse 1-2, 6 down to verse 9. And Mother E, help me, 1 Corinthians 2. Read verse 4, 6, 12 through 14. After Elder, read Romans chapter 8, 1-2, 6-9. Come on, Elder.
Romans chapter 8, verse 1-2 and verses 6-9. One says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Yahweh the Son, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yahweh the Son had made me free from the law of sin and death. 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahuwah. For it is not subject to the law of Yahuwah, neither indeed can be. 8. So they that are in the flesh cannot please Yahuwah. 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Yahuwah dwelleth in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Yahweh the Son, he is none of his.
Yeah. So if you don't have the Spirit of Yahweh, according to verse 9, what do you say that? What do we say again? Verse 9.
Verse 9 says, but ye are not in the... But ye are not in the flesh, but are in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Yahuwah dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Yahuwah the Son, he is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to him.
Oh, so if you ain't got his Spirit, you don't belong to him. But I wonder... Now, that's a big verse you just... Now, Mother, you got to hold what you got, Mother. And now, Mother Z, read y'all. Mother Z, pass Mother E the book. 57th chapter of the first book of Avenue. We got to make a little detour on that now. So if you're not of his, if you ain't got the Spirit of Yahuwah, you say you're not his, then who are you then? Now, you got to find out who... So now, you see... Okay, let's do the elimination of process there. If you do not have the Spirit of Yahuwah, you are none of his. then who do you belong to? We want to precept that by going to the book of Adam and Eve, 57. And mother going to read down to find out that you don't have the spirit of Yahuwah in you. She said you're not none of his. Kind of mine is envy to Yahuwah, and you're not here. Then who are you then? See, now we're just going to find out who are you, and mother's going to read it out of the first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 57. We're going to read down until we get our point. So, Elder, we know you got your Adam and Eve book, Elder. But mother's going to read in the 57th chapter, because we just got a book saying, if you do not have the spirit of Yahuwah, you're not of his. Then who are you then? Mother, get ready to read it. Adam and Eve 57, take it verse 1. Mother, take your time. Come on.
The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 57 or 67.
5-7. Make it 5-7. Thank you, Mother.
Okay.
5-7. Let's read down and find out. Pick up it up. 5-7.
Okay. 5-7. 57. The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 57, verse 1. So when Adam came out and saw his hideous figure, he was afraid of him and said unto him, who art thou? Verse 2. Then Satan answered and said unto him, it is I who hid myself within this serpent, and who talked to Eve and beguiled her until she hearkened to my commandment. I am he who sent her through the vine of my feet to deceive. To deceive thee until thou and she ate of the fruit of the tree, and ye came away from under the command of Yahuwah. Verse 3. But when Adam heard these words from him, he said unto him, can thou make me a garden as Yahuwah made for me? Or can thou clothe me in the same bright nature in which Yahuwah had clothed me? Verse 4. Where is the divine nature that did it come to give me? Where is it that fair speech of thine does it hold with us at first when we were in the garden? Verse 5. Then Satan said unto Adam, thank God that when I have spoken to one about anything, I shall even bring it to him. Then, verse 5, then Satan said unto Adam, thank thou that when I have spoken to one about anything, I shall even bring it to him or fulfill my word. Not so, for I myself have never even thought of obtaining what I asked. Verse 6. Therefore did I fall, and did I make you fall by that for which I myself failed, and with you also, whosoever accepts my counsel falls hereby. Verse 7. Let me turn the page. Verse 7. Now, O Adam, by reason of thy soul, thou art under my roof, and I am king over thee, because thou hast hearkened to me and hast transgressed against your Yahweh. Neither will there be any deliverance from my hand until the day promised be by thy Yahweh. Verse 8. And he said, inasmuch as we do not know the day agreed upon with thee by thy Yahweh, nor the hour in which thou shalt be delivered, for that reason will we multiply war and murder upon thee and thy seed after thee. Verse 9. This is our will and our good pleasure, that we may not lead one of the sons of man to inherit our order in heaven. Verse 10. For as to our abode, O Adam, it is in burning fire, and we will not cease our evil doing, nor not one day, nor one hour. And I, O Adam, shall show fire upon thee when thou cometh into the cave to dwell there. Verse 11. When Adam heard these words, he wept and mourned and said unto Eve, hear what he said, that he would not fulfill all of what he told thee in the garden. Did
good.
He really?
That's good, Mother. Hey, Mother, read verse 2. Again, Mother, read verse 2, Mother.
Okay. Book of Adam and Eve, chapter 1, chapter 57, verse 2. Then Satan answered and said unto him, it is I who hid myself within the serpent, and who talked to Eve and beguiled her until she hearkened to my command. I am he who sent her, through the wild of my feet to deceive thee.
So now we understand that if we just preach up our Bible, he says, if you not, according to Romans, Paul was telling Northern Kingdom of Israel, if you don't have the spirit of Yahweh, you're not none of his. So now we see you're not none of his. Then if you're not none of his, then you belong to who, Elder? Take from there, Elder. You want to take a shot at that now, Elder? So now we know how to take Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and say, if you ain't got the spirit of Yahweh, you're not none of his. Now we know who you are by having a carnal mind. Take it from there, Elder. You on the clock. Come on.
Well, if you're not of Yahweh the Son, it's only one answer. You're of Satan the devil. Ain't no in between. Ain't no territory. Either Satan the devil or Yahweh.
So you see that? So you see how you stimulate the brain by just precepting your Bible. So he says, they ate what I gave. And what did they eat, Elder, in Hosea 10:13? So what did Satan feed Eve to see what is this that she was eating that we can read by going to Hosea 10:13. So what did she eat, Elder, that we can read in 10:13?
In Hosea chapter 10, reading verse 13, it says, ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruits of lies, because thou didst trust in that way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Okay?
So what was Eve eating in the garden, according to Hosea 10:13, Elder?
The lying deception of Satan.
Not, but according to verse 13, what was she eating, according to Hosea 10:13?
According to Hosea 10:13, he had eaten the fruit of lies.
Exactly. Exactly what she was eating was the fruit of lies. So all we got to do is show them exactly what she was eating in the garden by precept in the Bible, 10:13. She was eating the fruit of lies. Satan was lying to her, and she ate it. She fell and taken to Adam and gave it to Adam, and he fell. And that same thing going on today. What we've been eating from the Roman Catholic Church, the Latter-day Saints, all the Christians of Sabbath, all we've been eating was the fruit of lies. That's why we confound it every time when we examine everything you have told, purgatory and everything else, that ain't nothing but a fruit of lies. We find out soundly that once you sit down, that breath that you breathe, and that very same day, your thoughts perish. Because can't nobody put you nowhere if you laying there like a brick with no thoughts in your head. It don't work like that. Okay. So now we see that we've been bewitched, hocus pocus, and all that. So now you see the pastor standing before you, he on hocus pocus you. Now what you going to do about it? It's up to you. And it'll fit a precept there by going to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 7 through 10. You fit a precept there. So now you find out now, are you going to do the Bible, or you will continue doing what you're doing? According to David's son that pulled it from his father, in the 9th chapter, verse 7 through 10, what he said, Ecclesiastes chapter
okay.
9,
you see, 7 through
10, verse 10, what did he say?
Okay, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 9, reading 7, verse number 10. 7 says, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for Yahweh now accepteth thy works. 8, let thy garments be always white, let thy head lack no ointment. 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he had given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is the portion of his life. And in thy labor which thou hast taken under the sun, 10. Whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work or device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave.
That's plain enough. So those that have been invited to seance, all type of things, you see now, that's only bewitching. Now you can continue to go on it, or you let your brain burn with understanding and say, you have tricked me. You tricked my mama. You don't trick my daddy. You're going to trick my grandmother, but the buck stopped with me. So your tricking days is over. We ain't hearing that no more. So, now, mother, you're not giving that, give me that 1 Corinthians chapter 2, mother. Now I need me verse 4, 6, 12 through 14. Though. Now when we get here, now Paul on a mission. So he left the Israelites that was in Rome. Now he's going over to Corinth and talk to some more Israelites tonight, because his mission was to find the Israelites into they call Europe. So he over there with them now, and let's see what he says to them that's over there in Europe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, 6, 12, and 14. What do you say there, mother? Come on.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, 6, 12 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4.
And 14.
Okay, 14. Verse 2 reads. Verse 4 reads. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the prince of this world that come to naught. Verse 12. Verse 12 reads, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Yahweh, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of Yahweh. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the world, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the righteous spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the spirit of Yahweh, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned.
Mother, read verse 6 again, Mother.
Verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world that come to naught.
So, Paul, I'm just painting the picture. So he went to the Corinthians and he says, my speech is to you Corinthians that are perfect. He said, I'm speaking to the ones that are perfect. He said, I know there's a lot of you Corinthians here, but I'm speaking to you the ones that are perfect. And that's the precept word there, Elder. So he wanted to speak to the ones that are perfect. And when we precept that, Elder, how do a man be perfect? Because Paul's saying, I'm over here to speak to the ones that are perfect. That's not how you be perfect, Elder. We're going to Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. So that's the one he's speaking to, a perfect. So I thought there was a lot of them there, but he's speaking to the ones that are perfect, Elder. What's that mean when you precept your Bible in 19, verse 7 of Psalm, Elder?
Psalms 19, verse number 7. 7 says, the law of the Yahuwah is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Yahuwah is sure, making wise the simple.
So when Paul says he's speaking to the ones that are perfect, what is he saying, Elder? He's speaking to the ones that's what, according to 19 verse 7?
He's speaking to the ones that are perfect.
Like what, according to 19 verse 7?
By converting converting the soul.
By doing what? At 19 verse 7. Step in that, mother, anytime you get ready, mother.
Well, what he does is makes the wise simple.
Okay, well, hold that point. What you said about that, mother, according to 19 verse 7. He said, I'm speaking to ones that are perfect. According to 19 verse 7, mother, how do you be perfect? According to Psalms 19 verse 7.
Okay. That converting the soul. The testimony of the Yahuwah is true, making wise the simple.
But according to Psalms 19, verse 7, how do you be perfect, mother? According to Psalms 19, verse 7.
The law of Yahuwah is perfect. That's how you be perfect.
Number one answer, I'm speaking to the ones that was keeping the law, because the law of Yahuwah makes you perfect. Number one answer to that is keeping the law. So he said, I'm always speaking to the ones that are perfect. And the ones that are perfect is the ones that was keeping the law. That's how you be perfect, Bill, by keeping the law. Paul said, I'm over here speaking to the ones that are keeping the law, because the law make you perfect. Let's go to, Matthew 5:48 now. Let's go to 5:48 and see what it says in Matthew 5:48. So now we clear what makes you perfect. What makes you perfect is just keeping them up. He said, I'm over here with you Corinthians like I was over there with the Romans. I'm speaking to the ones that's keeping the law, because the law of Yahuwah will make you perfect. Now we get a precept on that, Elder, and Matthew 5:48. And we're going to find out if the young lion, if he's coming peacefully or if he's ready to get in or he's coming peacefully. We'll find out in a minute about the young lion shortly. Let's see what it says in Matthew 5:48. What's going on in 5:48?
And the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48 reads, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
So on the way, you can be like the Father in heaven is perfect by keeping the law. So he's the lawgiver. He gave the law to his Son. The Son gave an angel, and the angel brought it out to the seer. So that's it. So that's how you're being perfect, by keeping the law. So Paul said, I'm over here with you with Corinthians. So what he's saying to you, I'm over here with you Corinthians that keep the law. That's all he's saying. But they put the word perfect there. So when you precept your Bible, I'm speaking to the ones that keep the law. That's what he's saying. Now, if you want to precept that, get one more lick on that by going to St. John chapter 1. Going to St. John chapter 1. And we're going to get, then we're going to see what the young lion, if he's coming on the network, is he coming peacefully? Not that we're going to read that. Is he coming peacefully? We'll find out in a minute. And St. John chapter 1, Elder, can you have to see out what it says in 1 verse 11 and 12? St. John chapter 1. verse 11 and 12. What is that help?
St. John, reading chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 12. 11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the son of Yahweh, even to them that believe on his name.
You see that, Adam? So he didn't go nowhere else. He came to the same thing Paul was saying. I'm going to read with you Corinthians, the one that is perfect. He said, I see you Israelites like everywhere. I'm not here for because you're an Israelite. I'm here to see which one you Israelites that keep the law. That's the one I'm coming to worship. Same thing about us. We know Israelites is 24-60, thousands of millions. But we want to talk to the Israelites that want to keep the law. And keep the law, that makes you perfect. So now, Paul pulled that verse from St. John 1, saying when the Son came, he said he came unto his own, the Israelites. But as many of the Israelites that received him, see, you might be in a family where you might be around 20 people of your family. But guess what? All of them is your family, but only two of them out of 20 believe you. So then the two that you work with, that's all he's saying. Paul said, I know y'all over here everywhere, like what? Like sand the sea. But I'm over to see which one of y'all is perfect. They said, well, how to be perfect? Is which one of y'all going to receive my word and do it? That's all he said. So that's how you thoroughly break that down. I'm over here to visit and help the one that are perfect. Perfect with the precept, it means the ones that keep the law. That's what it's saying. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to see if the young line is he coming on the network yet? Is he coming? We're gonna find out in a minute. We're going to the 16th chapter about a young line after we pray. See which way he's coming in. Is he coming in to? Is he coming peacefully? We don't know. Brother Micaiah, tribe of Yah-God Judah, coming on stage for take number 14. Let's find out. Is he coming just hear the word of Yahweh? He wanna. Get in where you fit in at. I don't know. We're going to find out right now. Don McKay, up and coming, teach out of Camp 1. Yahweh PJFC, Roy.
Yahweh bless you there. Fear Israel. C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Young Lion, are you coming peacefully?
Bless you. I'm going to read the book of Psalms, chapter 104, verse 21, and read. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah. All right. That's the young lion. So my young lion, can you tell the national who all care this broadcast? Can you talk back to the over 900,000 strong here in the side? Who all carries broadcast as we speak? Come on there, young lion. Come on.
West is Real Steve Roy. Right now, we know that we live on Blog Talk Radio. We also be live on Pal Talk. You can catch us on YouTube. You can type in those keys on that one-eye Satan phone. You'll pull up your one-eye laptop or your one-eye computer desktop at home. If you got a smart TV, you can even pull up on that one-eyed devil smart TV, too. And you can type in the keys for the YouTube page at B-O-T-T-Y, Tribe, Y-H-D-H. Once again, for the YouTube page, it's B-O-T-T-Y, Tribe, Y-H-D-H. And also, we broadcast our show on Facebook. You can catch us previous broadcasts as well that was live, but also this broadcast will be on there as well. You can catch us on Facebook at VOTTY. Once again, you can type in the keys at VOTTY. We ask you guys to take notes, write down your questions, and also take good notes and ask any questions that you have pertaining to the Bible. We also ask you guys to call in if you have any questions or comments at 224-600-5579. And also, once you take those notes, remember, call in and ask the question so we can give you an answer. And if it be the will of Yahweh, we have an answer. If not, we'll give you Daniel chapter 2, verse 16, and we'll get back with you on that one. I say over to you, Sis Real C. Wood. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
That sounds like a girl right there. Now, in Exodus, can you help us see out a little bit in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, swing read down to 1 Samuel 16, and let's see if he's rehearsing the righteous act 16. Four down to verse 7. Let's see what's the foundation of what you're getting ready. Let's see what we can get out of here by going to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 there, young line, and then just throw it on down to 1 Samuel 16, 4 down to verse 7. Take your time there, young line, Brother Makai. You're coming on stage to help out on K14, and let's see what we got to work with while the mother and the elders all ears come out.
All right, we're going over to the book of Exodus. We want to read chapter 3. We want to read verse 14, and we want verse 15. The book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 15. Book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14, read. And Yahweh said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Verse 15. And Yahweh said, moreover unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, the Yahweh, Yahweh of your father, the Yahweh of Abraham, the Yahweh of Isaac, and the Yahweh of Israel hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.
So we find out that Moses told his name to all generations. Now let's see what Moses had to do with that to all generations. Now let's see what Moses had to do by now reading verse 16.
All right. The book of Exodus, chapter 3. We'll read verse number 16. Verse 16 reads, go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Yahweh, Yahweh of your father, the Yahweh of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt.
And so we find out the origin of once the angel come down and find the steer and get it cocked and loaded, what do the steer folks do immediately according to the foundation in 3:16, young line? What do the steer folks do immediately in 3:16?
Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them.
So now we're going to get a case in point, and that's why our elders ride and shotgun as we speak. Because we line to see one thing about it. If we please our mighty one, look for him to shower the blessing on us. Now we're going to get a case in point by going to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 4 down to verse 7. Let's see what the young lion can bring out. And 1 Samuel 16, 4 down to verse 7. What did it say? I mean, young lion?
going over to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 4 down to verse 7. Verse 4 reads, "And Samuel the seer did that which the Yahweh spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elder of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest you peacefully?" Verse 5, "And he said, Peacefully, I am come to sacrifice unto the Yahweh, and called them to the sacrifice." Verse 6, "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eli and said, Surely the Yahweh's anointed is before him." Verse 7, "But the Yahweh said unto Samuel the seer, Look not on his countenance, or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Yahweh seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Yahweh looketh on the mind."
Good. Now, young man, that's great. And you did your part in this grand style, but can you break down the order of things and where did he pull that order from with no problem? And we found out the foundation of it was Exodus chapter 3, 14 through 16. We got that down pat. So when Samuel come on the scene, what did Samuel, did he do, what can you bring out? And I'm going to ask the elder and the mother, do you agree with the young lion get ready to talk about the order of things in 16 chapter, 4 down to verse number, whatever, 4 down to 9, where the young lion stopped it. But young lion, kind of break that down, and the elders all ears, and the mothers is all ears too. So break that down, what you just got to read from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 4 and beyond. Come on.
All right. So reading that 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 4 down to verse 7, to get understanding for the precept that precepting from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and, well, really verse 16 is what we're precepting from, pertaining to Samuel the seer. It says, did that which the Yahweh spake, and we know that what the order of things was that Samuel the seer had to go gather the elders to come and hear the word of Yahweh for the sacrifice. Yahweh wanted him to go, Samuel the seer to go take care of the business. So Samuel the seer went and gathered the elders, which Yahweh told him to go do, so he could do the sacrifice. When the elder came around, when Samuel the seer came around, the elders was trembling because they wanted to make sure that he was coming peacefully. So Samuel the seer let it be known, because he's the man of the hour, that, hey, yeah, I come peacefully, you know, but I'm coming to give you some of the stuff, says Yahweh, you elders. So the elders got an order, and they went with him to sacrifice, for the sacrifice. But the order of things was that Samuel the seer followed the order, according to what we could read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 16, and gathered the elders, all the way into the point down where Yahweh let him know that, hey, I don't look upon man's stature or nothing, but I look on the mind of man.
Hey, Ellie, you agree with that? You want to add something to it?
No, nothing's needed to be added. That sounds pretty good to me.
All right. So, Elder Grip, what about your mother, Eve? You agree with that, or you want to add something to it? You agree with that, or you have to say, Hallelujah, Yahweh? So when I ask this question, do you agree with it, or you have to say, Hallelujah, Yahweh? I mean, that means we quit it. You agree? Or if you want to add on something to it, then you add on something to it. So, when we ask the question, hey mother, Elf, do you agree? Hallelujah, what? Then we know to move on. Or then if you have something else to add to it, then so be it, so be it. Now, mother, what the young man just got through bringing to the table in that breakdown, do you agree what he just got through saying there, mother?
Where did he get his precept from?
Well, I'm saying, Mama, do you agree with you say Hallelujah. But if you want to add more to that, then you'll go in and put out some more. But if you agree, you say, Hallelujah. And we just get on with something else. So now, Mother, it's on you now.
Move on.
Hallelujah. All right. We move on. Hallelujah. So there it is right there. See, that's what we got to do. See, we got to make sure we hear, and we could go in Jeremiah and read what he said when Pastor was talking. He said, Hallelujah. But he said, okay, but we ain't getting off into it. So now, that's good. So now, that's real good. What we just heard. Now, see, we own something. Now, see, I'm got to happen. Because all we call this network is to do Brother Micaiah. All we call this network to do Job 22:23, backed up with Lot 3:8, 11, and 14. It's all that's on our mind. See, we talk from the page of the book. Job 22:23, backed up with Lot 3:8, 11, 14. Y'all lying, Brother Micaiah, come on.
The book of Job, chapter 22, and we want to read verse number 23. The book of Job, chapter 22, verse 23 reads, If you return to the Almighty Yahuwah, you shall be built up. You shall put away sin far from your temple. The book of Sirach, chapter 3, verse 8, 11, and 14. The book of Sirach, chapter 3, verse 8, 11, and verse 14. The book of Sirach, chapter 3, verse 8 reads, Honor your father and mother, both in word and deed, that a blessing may come upon you from them. Verse 11. For the glory of a man is from the honor of his father, and a mother and dishonor is a reproach to the children. Verse 14. For the relieving of your father shall not be forgotten, and instead of sin, it shall be added to build you up.
So, young man, our purpose of coming on the network 6 nights a week is to do what? What verse you want to pull out with that in the precept? What verse you want to pull out that our purpose is coming on the network 6 nights a week to do what to the national audience?
Verse 14. Add to build you up.
That's all we come to do. We come to build you up. Because, Steve, if you're able to build, if we build you up, then you'll be able to help someone in your family that got any kind of problem, you know, build you up. But you have to know the order of things. Now, Mother E. And Leviticus chapter 19, can you help us see? Let's see what we can do with this video. We go on to Leviticus chapter 19, came down to verse 17. And we want to analyze this a little bit. Let's see what can we do with this right here. Leviticus chapter 19, 15 through 17. And we're going to see what's going to come out of this by reading Leviticus chapter 19, 15 down to verse 17. Now, the WCC just said, you know, Sarah, I see where you're trying to go, but we're going to mute the elder off the broadcast. He's too talking for tonight. Why you do that? We got the power. This is our radio show, not yours. So the elder got an MUT on him for the rest of the broadcast, according to the WCC. So it's no accident See, we come on this airwaves to set things in order. Now, Mother, what you getting ready to read in Leviticus chapter 19, 15, down to verse 17? Get ready to read, Mother.
Leviticus chapter 19, verses 15 to 17. Verse 15. Mm-hmm. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thus shall not respect a person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shall thus judge thy neighbor. Verse 16. Thou shalt not go up.
Oh, that's one, Mother. Can you read 15 again, Mother?
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shall thus judge thy neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Good. So in righteousness, you got to judge your neighbor. Now, young man, Brother Micaiah, what do you mean by you got to teach the poor right by precepting your Bible in Isaiah 14:34? Can you speak out about precepting your Bible in 14:34?
Okay, we're going over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 34. We're going to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, and we want to read verse number 34. Verse 34, read. The book of Isaiah, chapter 14.
Well, make it 32, L. I mean, on young line.
32.
Make it 32.
32, read. What shall one being answered the messengers of the nation? If the Yahuwah have founded Yadah Judah, the poor of his people shall trust in it.
So you see, so even you know they're sitting you up right there in Leviticus, the poor of your people is going to be the lead tribe, Judah. He said, don't keep on paying them no never mind. Pay them some mind, because them the ones that Yahuwah going to be looking at, the poor of his people, and out of 12 tribes, the poorest of all, is Judah, the lead tribe, because he's poor in spirit. Because he thinks he's African-American, Negro, and Christian. See, he's poor in spirit, old Judah. That way he's poor in spirit. So he's sending up right now and telling Moses, telling children of Israel, that don't have no respected person and make sure you do right with old Judah. The poor of the people. That's what he's saying, Mother. Now read verse 16. Let's get 16 in there, Mother. See what it says in Leviticus 19:16. Let's see what 19:16 says.
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Thus shall not go up and down as a cattle bearer among the
A tail bearer. So he's telling this, so Mother, he's in the stage right now, telling the children of Israel, don't be running back and forth being a tail bearer. Don't do that. So he, see, remember when Yahuwah brought the message down and gave it to Moses, he gives the seal of Aaron. So he laying the instruction down about how you conduct yourself, and then you be healed. And we read plainly by our elder, Brother Micaiah, in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Can you tie in Romans chapter 8, verse 9?
Yes, sir. Going over to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and we want to read verse number 9. The book of Romans. Chapter 8, we want to read verse number 9. Verse number 9, read. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Yahuwah dwell in you, now if any man have not the spirit of Yahuwah the Son, he is none of his.
So when we precept that young lion in Proverbs 1:23, can you help those see out when you precept that? What are you talking about? When you precept that, what do you mean? We already found out that not none of his, and mother already take care of it already. And the book called Took Care in the Book of Adam Eve 57:1-11. But Yahuwah, sometimes he might want you to come back at it again. And come back at it again. Let's see what we're working with. You got a line? Whatever we just said, bring it out.
All right, we're going to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. We want to read verse number 23. 23 reads, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you.
You see that? So the spirit he's talking about, he said, you're not none of his unless you got his word. So you got to have his word. You can't be having the words of man. You must have his word. Give me Proverbs 2:1, young lion. 2:1. The power. What is his word? What is his word? See, now we're going to find out what is his word by going to Proverbs 2:1.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, my son, if you will receive my word and hide my law within you.
So he said, the spirit, if you ain't got the spirit of Yahuwah, you're not none here. So what is he saying, young man, when we do the precept? What is he saying? Talk, let's talk. And mother, what we want to hear from you, mother, is hallelujah, wow. You want to add something to what this young lion getting ready to say. Come on.
Well, what he's saying is if you don't have the spirit of Yahuwah, which is the word, the laws of Yahuwah, then ain't no, and like he said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, you can add that in there. Now, if any man have not the word or the laws of Yahuwah, he is none of his. If you ain't got no law of Yahuwah, you is none of his.
And mother read in the 57 chapter 1-11, and Satan said, if you ain't got the laws and the word of Yahuwah, you belong to him. So you see that? So you see what we're going to find out? If you ain't got Yahuwah's word, which is his law, or got his law, which is his word, which is the spirit, you ain't none of you. So now you know who you are then. You set you up saying the devil. According to Mother Red in 57:1-11. So now, but he pulled that from his father. And Psalm 78:1, then we'll start on 1, then we'll read 4 out of verse 5, but my guy. Go to Psalm 78:1. Let's see, can we beat it just a little bit? See, one thing about it, you have to know how to directly precept and really tear the arm off, you know, and just watch the parts of their body just fall off of them through your precept. Well, 78:1 says what? Well, watch this. Young lion, bring it.
Book of Psalms, chapter 78:1 reads, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. Verse 4.
See that? See that? Mm-hmm. You see the man there? So now he's saying, sound it. If you're not keeping his law, you're not keeping his word, you're not keeping his word, you're not keeping the law, you're not none of his. So now you know exactly that preacher standing before you, he's upstaying the devil. He's just lying up. You see it? But see, if my current of mind is not going to see it, but those that want to be in his word will see, my pastors are saving the devil. Verse 2 down to verse 5. Come on, young man, 2 to 5. 2 over down to verse 5.
Book of Psalms, chapter 78, verse 2, 9 to verse 5. Verse 2 reads, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Verse 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Yahuwah and his strength in his wonderful works that he hath done. Verse 5, for he established a covenant in Israel and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children.
See that? Now you see that? So now you see what you got out of that? Now, mother, we know you're holding. Now we let you hold that. We let the young lion grab a little bit more. I know you're holding. Come back to verse 17. Before we get to 17, I want to see. I want to answer to this question. Now you heard what he just got to read. Now we're going to Matthew 13:34-35, and tell me what happened. Now go to Matthew 13:13. I'm saying something. You got a family member with the brains ain't acting right. Then why don't you go to your family, turn their radio on this broadcast. Let them read one verse. Then show them the precept of that one verse and see do they remember. That came luck up and buying it at all. So they're going to read the verse with what everybody reads. But the key to it, you can read all you want, but you got to know what to read. And have your same little one to precept that after you show them. Their brain can start assimilating right then and there. Oh, we read this verse here. After this over here. Guess what you did now? Now you're exercising their brain. You can read a Bible, a novel, all you want. But until you precept that book, your mind would not computer it to help rejuvenate your brain unless you precept. Because we read soundly, the only way your brain is going to work, help me out there, young lion, the only way your brain going to work and help those for your loved ones, you got to understand what Yahuwah said in Luke 24:32.
You got a line
with it, say. Luke
24:32. All right. We're going over to the book of Luke, chapter 24. We're going to read verse number 32. The book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 32. And it reads, and they said one to another, did not our minds burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opens to us the scriptures.
So what makes your mind burn and start working on you? What rejuvenates the dead cells in your brain, young lion, according to that verse? What got to happen for you?
The scriptures. And be taught the scriptures.
You see that? So that's so you see you. You got your parents, you're going over to Doc Cook, you're paying all that money to Doc Cook for your parents to rejuvenate their brains and have them do all type of things. No, how to rejuvenate their brains is have them show them a scripture, read it to them, show them the precept to that scripture, then say, now you go back over with mom, auntie, uncle. You go back over it. Now, they going to have to use their brain to read it. But the stimulation of the muscle is when they precept it. Then you see the stimulation of the muscle come in. Because it's just like going to a Christian church. You ain't got to even bring your brain inside or your Bible. You can take your brain and your Bible and leave it in the car. Because everything the preacher going to tell you, you've been heard it. Before you got there, you heard it already. You already know the next hour the band gonna play. You already know it's your brain. you have no use for your brain. You ain't got no use for your brain, no Christian church, Islamic church, or a Jewish church, a Jewish synagogue. You ain't got no use for your brain. You're going to go over the same thing. They never going to tell you about how to precept your Bible and stimulate your brain. So you really can take your brain and learn to somebody else along with your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to somebody until you come out. You go on inside and get you some sleep and some popcorn and some sleep. Okay? Your brain is not going to be stimulated in no Christian or Jewish or Islamic. The brain not going to be stimulated. You're going to get so high, that's it. And once you reach that peak, you ain't going nowhere higher. You'll hear the same thing over and over again. But if you come to Bart, the true Israelite, we'll stimulate your brain by going to what Young Lion just got to read in 7:8:1-5. Now watch you go to Matthew 13:13-5 and tell me. Then Young Lion going to expound on it, and Mother going to say, if you agree, hallelujah, well. Or she going to add on to it. We'll see. Let's see what the Young Lion say after you read Matthew 13:13-34-35. Come on.
Book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 13, verse 34 down to verse 35. Verse 13 reads, therefore spake I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse number 34 reads, all these things spake Yahuwah the Son unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them. Verse number 35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the seer, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
What you get out of that, Young Lion?
Well, that's why I let it be known that he going to speak to us in parables. That's what we've been preaching. He said he going to open his mouth and speak to us in parables and let it be known some secret things that were spoken by the seers. So all things can be fulfilled since the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm. So he gonna speak to dark fans of old. So all he gonna do is look mm-hmm. back on left, speak with the left side of the book of his hand. So mm-hmm. all these dark fans of old is what was written on the left side of Matthew. That's all he's doing. He's almost speak on the left side of Matthew. That's all the man is saying. He's gonna do. I'm mm-hmm. gonna speak on the left side of Matthew. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna speak what's already written. And his dog stands of old. But the pastor tell you it's done away with. But he said, I'm going to speak the dog stands of old. And we just got to read in Psalm 78:1-5.
So
I'm going to go forth what they got already on the table. That's all I'm going to do. It's going to be a parable to them, but really they have a dog stands of old. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to the left side of the book, you read the same thing I'm saying now. That's all he's saying. Hey, Mother E, you want to give me a hallelujah, or you want to add something to that?
Move on.
Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. So you see, that's all we're doing. We're coming to wake you up of dark sayings that's already been said. And we, now, Mother, come on back to that 19:17. Now come on back to Luke 19:17. Now listen to this, Mother. 19. Verse, now, did you read 16 already, Mother?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, go back to verse 15 again. Well,
come
back to verse 15 again, Mother. Yeah, read 15 again, because I'm kind of dumbfounded right now. I've been confounded. What does verse 15 say?
Book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 15. And it come to pass that when he was returning, having received the kingdom. Then he...
Wait, hold on, mother. I'm sorry, but I mean Leviticus. Back to Leviticus, 1915. Yeah, make that Leviticus 1915. Because we done all that, but I'm kind of, I need just a little brush up on 1915. What do Leviticus 1915 say again, Emma?
Oh, you want Leviticus? Okay.
Yeah, make the Leviticus.
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness and judgment. Thou shalt not mistake the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shall thou judge thy neighbor.
Oh, hey, amen, mama. You know, don't they say you can't judge? You can't judge. You can't judge me. Wait a minute, mother. If Yahweh is giving Moses to Aaron that you can judge, but the way you judge is by what kind of way, young line? Hey, young line, according to mother reading the book of Leviticus 19:15, you can judge, but it's a stipulation to judging. And what is that?
Righteousness. But in righteousness still you judge your neighbor.
So I can judge you. I can judge you. But the stipulation of judging you, I must judge you. What kind of way, young lion?
Righteousness.
So when they tell you, you can't judge me. Can't judge me. Yes, I can. And what kind of way, young lion?
Righteousness.
Now, y'all see that? Now, can you see that? So you can judge, mother. Hey, mother, you can judge. But you got to make sure when you judge it, what kind of way?
Righteousness.
Right. Now, tell me y'all what I did. In the book of Judges, there, y'all mind? What I said, book called?
The book of Judges.
What's the name of that book again?
The book of Judges.
You mean, and guess what? He got 21 chapters on Judges. 21 chapters, a whole book of the Judges, 21 chapters. What you mean he can't judge? He got a whole book called The Judges. 21 chapters of Judges. Now you see that? You can't judge me. And he got a book with 21 chapters in it. And it's the book of the judge. And it's requirement to judge, you got to do what?
Judge righteous.
But you got to judge. So you got to know when you're judging righteous. That's the stipulation of being a judge. You got to make sure it is righteousness when you judge. You got to make sure when you tell somebody something by judging them. What you mean, Latter-day Saints? You want a case in point, huh? See, can you give me a precept? Yeah, I can do that. Young man, give me Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. 25, listen to this. 25, verse 1.
Going over to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 25, read verse number 1. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, you want verse number 1? Verse number 1. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verse number 1, read. If there be a controversy between men and they come unto judgment, the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous, and condemn the wicked.
Ain't that nothing? You mean I've been told, and that's to be the get out of jail free card mother all the time. You can't judge me. That's not true. See, that's your preacher saying. You can't judge. You, according to what we read in Deuteronomy 21, he's going to judge 218, young lion. He's going to judge 218, what it said, and judge 218.
All right. We're going over there to the book of Judges, chapter 2, and we want to read verse number 18. The book of Judges, chapter 2, we want to read verse number 18. Verse 18 reads, and when the Yahuwah raised him up judges, then the Yahuwah was with me. Verse 18. And when the Yahuwah raised him up judges, then the Yahuwah was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemy all the days of the judge. For it repented Yahuwah
Yahuwah was with the judges. He the one set it up. So how you let somebody tell you, no, the judge that judge you, he got to be, what kind of way, young man?
Righteousness.
Right. Then if it get too tight on you, young line, let's go and see what the answer to get too tight on you. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. It might get too tight on you. Let's find out what happened then to get too tight on you. We're going to find out something. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, let's see what the people say as we keep reading down to get our point. We're going to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. We'll read a little bit there. Now read what it says. Verse 13. Matter of fact, give me two lines and Deuteronomy 1:1. Make sure we know what the subject matter is. Then let's get down to verse 13 and read a little bit more. Give me two lines there, young line. 1:1.
All right. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, picking up at verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel.
So this word is not for all the nations. This word is for who?
All Israel.
So all Israel are supposed to know this. So Mother E, Mother Z, all Israel are supposed to know this. Verse 13 is read a little bit.
All right. The book of Judges, chapter 1, verse number 13. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse number 13. 13 reads, take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. Verse 14. And ye answered me and said, the thing which you have spoken is good for us to do. Verse 15. So I took the chief of your tribe, wise men, and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over 50, and captains over 10, and officer among your tribe. Verse 16. And I charge your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brothers, and judge righteously between every man in his power and the stranger that is within him. Verse 17, you shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man. The judgment is Yahuwah. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Verse 18. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do.
You want to take a shot at that, young man? Hey, Mo, listen to him real good. Want to take a shot at that? That 13 down to verse 18. Want to take a shot at that? What is he saying?
Hallelujah.
What is he saying? Hey, I know Mother E and Mother Z all here. And we're going to see if we get a hallelujah out while they, or they want to bring in something to help on what you get ready to say. What, take a shot at it, 13 through 18. So let's paraphrase something now. Come on there, young lion.
Well, okay. Well, we just got done reading about that Yahweh took the wise men and the rulers, and he made them, put them in position as the chief man of the tribe. But he also says these are the judges. He said, I charge your judges at that time. Then hear the cause between your brothers and judge righteously. That means these judges had to be righteous, which are the law keepers, the Torah instructors, first five books of the Bible keepers. And they got to be the ones that judge between a brother and he wanted them to judge every man and his brother and a stranger that is with among us, the children of Israel. He let it be known that in his judgment, that the chief man will be doing, the ones that's righteous will be doing, the law keepers. They should have no respect of a person in the judgment. You say they should every amount of judgment, whether it be small or big. He said, don't be afraid of no man because it's Yahweh's judgment. He said, so if anything's too hard for him, he said, bring it unto me and I will hear it. And that's what Moses was letting them know during that time. And pretty much, if to sum it all up, it was pretty much pertaining that the righteous got to do the judgment, and that Yahweh is Yahweh's judgment, and that they got to judge righteously in the judgment, and it has to be even, whether it's hard, big, or small judgment.
Mm-hmm. And if it gets too tight on the elders, then you bring it to the seer. But the first thing people go to is the elders. That's why the elder got to be knowing what the Bible's saying. And if it gets too tight on you, you feel the child a little tight, then bring it to the seer. Then bring it to the seer. But the first thing you do, you go to your elder. And if the elder hear you out, he will be judging righteous on it. If it gets too tight, he said, then it gets, don't run to those seer. No, to your elder. Your elder. But if it gets too tight on the elder, then the elder brings to the seer, then the seer heads, and then he will make a Yahweh as his head and on him. Now, when all that was said, let's see what happened in verse 23.
All right, we're going to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. We're going to pick it up at verse number 23. 23 reads, and it same pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of your tribe.
So you see how it works, Mother. Hey, Mother E, you want to hallelujah on that, or you want to add anything to that? Huh? Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah, Mother. Now, young lion. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 19, 5 through 7 and 9. And Mother, help me. St. John chapter 12, 46 down to verse 50. And then we'll bring Mother Z in and see if she want to add to or whatever the Almighty put on her on the commentary. Now, young lions, we're going to 2 Chronicles chapter 19, 5 through 7 and verse 9. Listen good. 2 Chronicles, chapter 19, 5 through 7 and 9. Brother Micaiah, come on.
All right. We want to read the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 19, verse 5 through 7 and verse number 9. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 19, verse 5 through 7 and verse number 9, verse 5 reads, and he set judges in the land there throughout, in the fenced cities of Yadadjur, city by city. Verse 6, and said to the judge, take heed what you do, for the judge not for men, but for the Yahuwah, who is with you in the place. I mean, who is with you in the judgment. Verse number 7. Wherefore now, let the fear of Yahuwah be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no sin with the Yahuwah, Yahuwah, nor respect of person, nor taking of gift. Verse number 9. And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Yahuwah, faithfully and with a perfect mind.
Mm-hmm. And we read earlier, being perfect, just keep the law, keep his word. That's all it means. I got a perfect mind, keep the law, keep his word. That's it. Keep judging. Now, you can judge. Because you will make your decision according to what the Bible says. You just gonna make decision because of popular persuasion. No, you know the law, you know his word is saying, and you make a decision according to the scripture. So that makes you a judge, but you gotta be right. What's going on there, Mother, in that St. John 12, 46 down to verse 50, and we're gonna bring Mother Z in to give a commentary on tape 14 after Mother delivered. St. John 12, 46 down to verse 50. What's that, Marie?
Book of St. John, chapter 12, verse 46 to 50. Verse 46. I am come, a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. Verse 47. And if any man hear my word and believe not, I judge him not, for I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. 48. He that rejected me and received not my word has one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
Mm-hmm. So, Mother, what's going to judge you in the last day? He said, the words I speak to you is going to judge you in the last day. I got a precept on that, Mother. What is it he's speaking in the last days, gonna judge you in the last days, by going to 2 Ezra 13:38? Let's talk about that, Mother. Let's find out what is this gonna judge you in the last days. He said, my words is gonna be what judge you in the last days. Let's find out the precept of my words. Then, Mother, expound on that, and then we'll bring Mother Z in. After you read
2 Ezra 13:38 reads, and shall lay before them their evil thoughts and the torment where will they shall begin to be tormented, which are like unto a flame, and he shall destroy them without labor by the law, which is like unto fire.
So that word is what? So mother, what word is going to come judge them in the last days, mother? You want to take a shot at that, mother? According to 11:13-38. What's going to judge you in the last? He said his word is going to do it. What's the precept of his word going to do it in 13:38, mother? What's going to judge us in the last days? According to 13:38.
Okay.
The last line.
Without labor. Without labor. Without labor by the law.
Excellent. That's what's going to judge you. His word is his law. His law is his word. That's what's going to judge you in the last days. His word, which is his law, and his law is his word. That's it, mother. That's it. And you know, they go all the way through colleges, got degrees everywhere, and they in that part, they don't have a clue what that. What's going to judge you is the law. The law is his word. His word is the law. The law is his word. See that? See how plain we have no problem taking care of? That's just the way it is, mother. It's just that plain. Mother E, Mother Z, tribe of Yah God Judah. Another one of the mothers out of Cap 1. Now, Mother Z, you heard a whole lot of stuff. Huh?
She ain't coming on.
Oh, Mother Z says she'll come on tomorrow? Okay, all right, excellent. All right, so look what we're going to find out along the way. So now we clear what's going to judge the world in the last day, the word. So, and that's why we got to make sure we got it right. And we can be judged as long as we judge what kind of way of young man?
Righteousness.
When we judge, it must be righteousness. Mm-hmm. And what is righteousness? Young line in 6:1-3 and 25. Hey, young line, Brother Micaiah, what is this going to judge us in the last day? We not even know his word. His law, but let's see, is any rehearsal of it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, 3, and 25. Young man, what that say? Come on.
What we do Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, 3, and verse 25. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, read. And these are the laws, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh, your Yahweh, to teach you. These are the judgments which Yahweh, your Yahweh, commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Yahweh of your father, have promised you, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 25. And it shall be our neighbor, it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these laws before Yahweh, our Yahweh, as the Yahweh commanded us.
You hear that, mama? So you see, all he's talking about, mother, is one thing. We can judge. long we judge righteousness according with the law saying. See, the minute we get into our feelings and we ignore what the law saying, that's when we run into problems. No, you can't judge. Because according to Yahweh, if you're not judging what I got written in this Bible, no, you can't judge. But if you show what the Bible saying, yes, you can judge. Because you're judging right. Because Yahweh is what, mother? Let's start out with Job said, Issachar's boy said, 27 verse 4. Hey, mother, he, can you throw see out what the Issachar boy say about himself? Now, this is the spirit we got to have, mother, to judge righteousness. Job 27 verse 4, come on, mother.
Okay. Book of Job, chapter 27. Verse 4. Read, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit.
Okay. So if you don't do that, then you can judge, mother. If you're not giving your opinion on anything, you're showing them what the law saying, his word saying out of the book, then, mother, that make you a judge. You can't judge because your lips is not speaking wickedness nor deceit. Then you can judge. Now, you see what we're going to learn, mother? Now, what do it say in Psalm 11, verse 3, mother? Psalm 11, verse 3. Psalm 11, verse 3. What's that say, mother?
Book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 3 reads. Psalms chapter 11, verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
That's the reason why we all over the place, mother. So we ain't got our foundation. Yes, mother said I can judge. But I got to make sure I'm judging you righteous. And how you judge righteous is 119, 142, and 144, mother. Psalm 119, 142, 144, and a closing statement there, mother. And we'll get back on tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Hey, mother, help those see out and to judge the righteousness by going to Psalm 119, 142, and 144 in a closing statement. And we'll be right back tomorrow at 6 o'clock for a special edition called Thursday Evening. What it say there, mother? 119, 142, and 144. Come on, closing statement. Come on.
Psalms 119, 142, and 144. 142. The righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. 144. The righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live.
You get it? The law, his word, will give us understanding for us to live, mother. So, mother, you want to add something to it, mother? Where the closing statement is? The world is listening, mother. He took your time and tell them to hold on, mother. Just tell them one thing. Keep the law, keep his word, one thing, and hold on. The closing statement, mother, come out, mother.
Mother, thank you and praising Yahweh for the class. Thank you and praising Yahweh for being the class. Thank Yahweh for the class. And thank you and praising Yahweh for the one that's listening. And just thank Yahweh for everyone that's listening. And I'd like to say to the class, to hold on, don't give up. So, you know, you don't get no forgiveness when you turn back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Your mother say you don't get no forgiveness when you turn back. Get a precept on that, young line. Let's go to 8:30. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Young line. Let's get a precept on that. Let's go to 10:35-39. Get a precept on that. Hebrews chapter 10. Matter of fact, read 22 down to verse 26. Then skip down to 35-39 in your mind. Let's make a little meal out. Make a little small meal out of it. Hebrews 10:22 down to verse 27. 22-27. Then we'll skip down to 35-39. Young Lion, Brother Micaiah, you're on the clock. Come on.
We're going over there to the book of Hebrews, the book of the Israelites, chapter 10, verse 22 down to 27, and drop it down to 35 to verse 39. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 22 reads, "Let us draw near with a true mind and full assurance of faith, having our minds sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Verse number 23. "Let us hold fast that profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Verse 24. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." Verse 26, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for us." Verse 27. "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fury and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary." Verse 35. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward." Verse 36. "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise." Verse 37. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." Verse 33. "Not the just shall live by faith." Verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith. Any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Verse 39. "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul."
So you see that? So we can't draw back. After we take this good word, because we want Yahweh to always be a 73 verse 1, but we might need him. We might need him, young lion. And Psalm 73 verse 1 says what?
Going over to the book of Psalms, chapter 73, we want to read verse number 1. The book of Psalms, chapter 73, verse 1 reads, "Truly Yahweh is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean mind."
So Yahweh is good to Israel, but Israel got to have a what?
A clean mind.
You got to have a clean mind, Israel. Not because you're Israel, like John said, the Baptist. He said, you can turn these stones into Israelites. He said, not because you're Israel, you gotta show some proof. Not because of the way I know I'm Israel, bloodline Israelite. So what? Yahweh is good to you, bloodline Israel, if what, according to 73 verse 1, Yahweh?
73 verse 1 reads, truly Yahweh is good to Israel, to such as are of a clean mind.
And let's precept that and see how you get a clean mind, because if we don't educate those with a clean mind, they might think they can jump in the tub and grab some soap and start just cleaning themselves up. No. Let's start out with the precept to that. Psalms 119, verse 8 and 9. Let's find out the precept of that. How you have a, he said, Yahweh is good to Israel if you got a clean mind. So we got to find out how to get a clean mind. Psalm 119, verse 8 and 9. How we get a clean mind, young lion?
The book of Psalms, chapter 8, 1, the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 8 and verse number 9. Verse 8 reads, I will keep your law, O forsake me not utterly. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to your word.
So we just can't just get a clean mind by, okay, I got a clean mind. I got to do what to get a clean mind there, young lion? According to 119 verse 9, what I got to do for Yahweh to stay good with me and keep my mind clean? What I got to do according to the precept 119 verse 9?
Take heed according to your word.
You see that? All right, all Gene saying, keep the law. If you want Yahweh to be good to you, keep the law. That's all they tell you. If you want Yahweh to be good to you, keep the law, and he'll be good to you. Matter of fact, just precept that and see where all that's coming from by going to Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 15 in the young line. So you see how, see, we kind of make it plain with you. You want the Yahweh to be in your life, then keep the law. That means you're keeping his word. He's telling you, for him to be good to you, Israel, keep the law, meaning keep his word. Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 15, what is that, young lion?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12 down to verse 15. Verse 12 reads, and now, Israel, what do the Yahweh, your Yahweh, require of you, but to fear the Yahweh, your Yahweh, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Yahweh, your Yahweh, with all your mind and with all your soul. Verse 13. To keep the law of Yahweh and his statutes which I command you this day for your good. Verse 14. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens is the Yahweh, your Yahweh, the earth also, with all that therein is. Verse 15. Only the Yahweh had a delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day.
Verse 13. Hey, Marie, listen to this, Marie, listen to this when the young lion read verse 13.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 13 reads, to keep the law of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good.
Hear that, Mother? It's for your good. See, you got to tell me, keep the law. That means keep his word. It'll help you out because it's for your good. Now, Paul heard all this good message. And 24:14, what did Paul say that we can read in Acts 24:14? Young line. Now, let's see what Paul said in 24:14.
All right. We're going over there to the book of Acts, chapter 24.
And we're going to pick it up at verse number 14. We're going to the book of Acts, chapter 24. We're going to read verse number 14. Verse 14 reads, "But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call his day, so worship I, the Yahweh of my Father, believing all things which are written in the law and in the seed."
You see that? You see what Paul's saying? So Paul said, listen, you know, y'all got me coming up with something. No. We know you're going to mess up, but no, I believe everything. And Paul's going to tell you in the 26th chapter of Acts what he on. Hey, young lion. And Paul's going to tell us something in 26 verse 7 what he on. See, now, I don't know why they want to read this. Paul, he makes it plain what he on in verse number 6 and 7. Acts 26, verse 6 and 7. Watch Paul tell you what he owns. He says, I believe everything is written. Now, he ain't going to tell him about what he's saying in Acts chapter 26, verse number 6 and 7. What did he say?
The book of Acts.
What did he say,
chapter 26. The book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 7. 6 and 7. The book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 6 reads, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of Yahweh unto our father," verse 7, "unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving Yahweh day and night, hope to come, for which hope sake, King Agrippa, I am accursed of Yahdajew."
I'm accused of Yahdajew. So now, give me a second Corinthians 7:1 close statement, young lion. You stood up and grasped out of young lion. Now, Paul, with all the information, now he's going to the Corinthians in 7, verse 1, and look what he said in 2 Corinthians 7:1 and a closing statement. Back on the airwaves tomorrow at 6 p.m. Come on in, young lion. It's all yours after this.
The book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 1. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 1 reads, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting righteousness in the fear of Yahweh."
Hey, that! Come on, young lion, close it out. Excellent. Close it out. Mother, all ears, come out.
All right. Thank you, Yahweh, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahweh, for the opportunity in life to meet the spirit, Israel, of seed world. Thank you, Yahweh, for being able to teach my wife and children the word of Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh, also for the elders.